I love that discussion about how Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's really why we're here. God has done such marvelous things for us. He has sent his son to die so that we could live. Nothing that we could have done would ever have approached the need for a sacrifice. We think about personal godliness today. I think about it in terms of the way it's presented in Titus the 11th chapter. Notice how Titus is told that which starts all of this is Jesus dying on the cross. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And that means a lot. It means that he now wants to redeem us for his very own possession. So we're going to talk a little bit about how that ought to inspire me to live. Anyway, that's the first part of this reading that we did. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. That's Jesus instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you know, when you read the New Testament, you encounter a lot of words that you probably don't use them in your ordinary conversation. Or if you use them, you might be using them in a way that doesn't really capture the thought that's presented for us as the New Testament writers would have used this word. So when he talks about the way that we live, the first thing he says is live soberly. And that really doesn't have anything to do with being alcohol free. That's the way we would use that word. This person is sober as opposed to this person over here who's drunk. When he says live soberly, he means something a little bit different. Thayer says that this word soberly, when he uses that word, he says it means to be of a sound mind, to be sober, to be temperate, to be discreet. That's an interesting idea, to be discreet. Do you know people that live their lives with discretion? They live their lives without getting off the rails. They just live their lives with discretion. You hear a lot of things. And sometimes those things that you hear are so outlandish that you just don't believe them. You don't believe them at all. Sometimes you hear things that have a grain of truth to them, and you're tempted to get sidetracked following those things because it sounds like they have a grain of truth to them. Discretion means that you take the time to think about the things that you hear. Live soberly. Live with discretion. Next thing he says is that you live righteously. And that's not a word that we use in our ordinary conversation. Thayer means says that it means just. It means to live agreeably to right, to live in such a way that we adorn the right the way that we ought to live. It is to live properly as is right. You know, sometimes we think of ourselves as being a little bit odd. But really, when we're living in the world, we're living like a fish out of water. That's not the way that God ever intended for us to live. And people that don't know God, people who live the way that the world would like for them to live, are living a life that isn't going to work very well. And the reason it won't work is because you weren't made to do that. Fish can't walk on land. They can live out of the water for a little while, but they can't breathe. You have to put them into the place where they really ought to be. And that's true of all of us. When we're away from God, we're like men out of water. We're like men out of the right path. And we struggle. Oh, we can make that work for a little while, but it just won't continue to work for us. He says it means uprightly, agreeable to the law of rectitude. There's a word that I'll bet you haven't used in your ordinary conversation. So going back to the definition didn't really help us very much, but we could look up the word rectitude and find out that it means to do what's right. It's related to the idea of being correct. So, we live soberly, we think about what we're doing, we live with discretion. The second thing is, we act like men, the way that we're really made to be. So we act rightly. And then finally, he says, we live godly. Thayer says that means to be pious, to be godly. And that one's a little bit difficult for me to try to understand. A lot of times people talk about godliness as meaning some outward activities that we do. Yes, we're being godly when we come into a place like this and we celebrate the supper that God has given us to celebrate. We're thinking about God. And we behave godly or like God when we treat our husbands or wives the way that we ought to be treating them. When we raise our children to know God, that's a godly act. And that there's a certain amount of truth to that. But Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, there are some people that only think of godliness in terms of a form. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 5, he talks about some people. He says, there are people in this world that you're going to interact with, Timothy, that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From those people, turn away. Avoid people that think of godliness only in terms of form. Are you a godly person? Well, yes, I don't cuss and I don't beat people. there's a grain of truth to that, but that's not really all of it. Thayer says it means respect or reverence. Everywhere it's used in the Bible, it's a word that means piety toward God. W. Vine said it means piety, which, characterized by a Godward attitude, does that which is pleasing to him. And I like the part of Vine's definition where he says it's a Godward attitude. You're familiar with a compass, right? No, we don't. We don't use compasses very often anymore. We have GPSs. My wife turns the map every time she turns. She fixed the map in our car so that the direction of travel is always up. Has nothing to do with north. I still need to teach her about compasses. A compass, on the other hand, has one characteristic, just has one thing that it does. A compass always points north, or close to north because of magnetic field deviations. But a compass really only does one thing. It points north. And you might say that the compass then has a northward attitude. And so when we talk about godliness, we're talking about having a Godward attitude. Everything that we do, everything about us points to God. It's not identifying certain activities in which we engage, but it's our life. It's the way that we live. Did you notice that all of these verbs, all of these words that we've looked at are adverbs? You know how to tell that they're adverbs? The general rule for identifying an adverb is it ends in L-Y. This is a description of a verb. Tells how the verb happens. Live is the verb. And live is a really broad term. You know, that's everything about me. I live soberly. That doesn't mean that I'm sober when I wake up in the morning. I live all the time with discretion. I live all the time righteously. I live all the time godly. Everything I do points to God. What does that mean? If I do this kind of thing, what happens? Well, in 1 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 7, he tells Timothy, he says, refuse profane and old wives' fables. Some things don't deserve to be listened to. Some things you need to just avoid. And some things that you hear on the radio or you see on TV or you read on the internet just aren't true. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself unto godliness. There's that word again. Godly. Exercise thyself unto godliness. And then he illustrates it. He says, bodily exercise profiteth for a little. Godliness is profitable for all things. Having promise of the life that now is, and of the life that is to come. Yes, we almost always clearly acknowledge that if you don't live godly, if you don't live righteously, if you don't live justly, you're not going to make it to heaven. It's true. People that live a life that isn't characterized by devotion to God are like the Apostle Paul. Such were some of you. Whoremongers, adulterers, fornicators, they're not going to make it to heaven. But you know something else? They're not going to have a good time while they're here either. Godliness is profitable now, and it's going to get you to heaven. It has promise of the life that is to come. Well, in 1 Timothy 6, he says, if any man teach a different doctrine than what you've received, what I've been teaching you, and consents not to sound words, words that have discretion, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's puffed up, knows nothing. Doting about questionings and disputes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men of corrupted mind, bereft of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a way of gain. He says godliness with contentment is great gain. Live a godly life. First Peter, or Second Peter, the first chapter, beginning at verse 5. Yea, for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, in your virtue knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control patience, in your patience godliness. There's that word again. In your godliness brotherly kindness, in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, there's the word that comes from 1 Corinthians 15. We abound in the things of God. It's not just that we think about God once in a while. We abound in the things of God. If these things are in you and they and abound, they make you that you shall neither be idle nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacks these things is blind, seeing only what's near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Here we come full circle. You live this way because you're cleansed. God made you a righteous person. So act like one. It's just that simple. God made us righteous people, so we act like we're righteous people. It's not that the way we act makes us righteous people. God made us righteous people, and now we act like we understand that. That's why the Apostle Paul would say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We act like we understand what God has done for us. He that lacks these things, blind, seeing only what's near, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Thou shalt be richly supplied, there shall be richly supplied unto you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let me make one more statement. This is personal. This is not a corporate idea. Yes, there is a sense in which the church needs to understand that the church is the bride of Christ. And the church needs to conduct itself relative to God, always looking to God for the description of the things that the church should be doing. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about individuals. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, at verse 10. The apostle says, we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Yes, I know this is talking about final judgment. But understand what the apostle Paul said about godliness. It's profitable for judgment, the life that is to come, and it's profitable now. If it's profitable for you in the day of judgment, it's individual. I've said before, and I will continue to say, I wish that when I got to judgment, I got to stand next to Kim. I'd like for some of her good to rub off on me. That's not the way it works. When you go to judgment, you're by yourself. And you stand before Jesus. And you know that's the way it works now too. There's a benefit to being with other good people. Yes, I understand that. And I thank God every day that I was the beneficiary of a tremendous father who did a lot of things, taught me about life and taught me about a lot of good things. I understand the benefit of being around good people. But this is what we do individually. Jesus died for us. He made us righteous. He accounted us, God accounted us righteous. Because of what Jesus did. And now I'm going to act that. We're going to stand in just a minute. And we'll sing a song together. Ted chose the song Farther Along. And it focuses our attention on what happens in heaven. Farther along, there'll be no more questions. I won't worry about things. I won't wonder about things. But you know what? When we sing this song, let's think about farther along being Monday. Monday, if I live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, I won't have questions either. Beneficial in heaven, it is beneficial now.